Glad to see all of you here this morning on this first Sunday of 2015. I just want a couple of announcements. The first one is MOPS meets this week. So if we can get some help lifting up the chair, like stacking up the chairs on the side and bringing some tables up, that would be fabulous. We could help those moms, next women, and the mothers of preschoolers. That would be great. The second is grab yourself a Bible if you see one around. We're going to be, the first passage we're going to be in is Romans chapter 10. And that's on page 946 in the Church Bible. And then the third one is today we start our new series, and it's called Faith Problems. Basically, as I was praying about how we should start the new year, normally I read through, we teach through books of the Bible, but I like to do topical here and there, and the beginning of the year is always good because we can kind of get a handle on some of the issues and problems that we have in our life. So I developed this series called Faith Problems, and today is going to be the first message in that six-week series. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get right into our first message of the series. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for each person that's here this morning. I thank you for what you've done in 2014, whether it was a trial or tribulation that we passed through, or whether it was a blessing that we felt. Whatever it was this past year, we're thankful that you got us through the year and have worked with us and shaped us to be the people that you want us to be. And now as we are here on the first Sunday of 2015, Lord, we don't know what the future holds, but you do. But we know that you desire faithfulness from us. So we're thankful, Lord, that that we have this opportunity to turn over a new leaf, to start a new chapter, and just focus our attention on you for this next year. And I'm just thankful for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, the first thing I would like to do is define what faith is biblically, because if we're talking about faith problems, we have to know what faith actually means. So in Hebrews 11:1, some of you are aware the biblical definition of faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So in other words, our faith or your faith is a confidence that what you believe is actually true. So it's a confidence of what you believe is actually true. And because you're so attached to that belief system, it actually impacts the way you live. So your faith in whatever you have faith in will actually impact the way that you live. It will impact your worldview, the way that you think, the way that you act, the way that you interact with other people. So a faith problem is actually something that stands in the way of you believing that truth and then therefore acting on the truth. So a faith problem is something that stands in the way. So we're going to deal with six faith problems that are common to many people. And the faith problem that we're going to deal with this morning is called ignorance, or more specifically, it's biblical ignorance. If you're biblically ignorant, then you will not believe the whole truth, and therefore you won't be able to act on that truth. You get that? If you're biblically ignorant, you won't believe in the whole truth, and then therefore you won't be able to act on that truth. So today we're going to learn what the dangers of biblical ignorance are, and then how to combat biblical ignorance in our life. Let me just clarify something, the difference between ignorance and stupidity. Because when I say ignorance, people are like, wait, are you saying I'm stupid? No, here's the difference between ignorance and stupidity. Ignorance is lacking in knowledge, information, or training, unlearned. Stupidity is a lack of intelligence, understanding, reason, or wit, or sense. So this is why, like, if you're watching a political debate and, you know, they'll ask, like, one of the politicians a question, he or she will say, oh, I was ignorant of that. Rarely will they ever say, oh, I'm stupid. I don't know what you're talking about. You might be thinking that person is stupid and they don't know what you're talking about. But ignorance is pretty much misinformation or uninformation, something that we don't have, we're unaware of. God does not want us to be biblically ignorant. Let me just tell you, in Romans chapter 2, verse 15, it says this, people show the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness. God doesn't want you to be biblically ignorant, and he goes to the extent of actually writing his moral law on the hearts of every person. That's why when we discover a civilization that has no, they know nothing about the Bible, the laws that they seem to make are very parallel to biblical laws. So what we realize is this: God goes to this huge extent to actually write his moral law on the hearts of people. But that doesn't mean we know everything from the Bible just from our heart. We know God's moral law in some senses, but biblically speaking, now we have to find out what God's written word is to our lives. So what I want to do is I want to first start with what the dangers of being biblically ignorant are. And the first one is this: it actually leads us astray. It leads us down the wrong path. Victor Cousin, he was a French philosopher in the early 1800s, and he said this: if ignorance is bliss, there should be a lot more happy people around. Okay? You get that? Ignorance is not bliss. And the problem with biblical ignorance is it leads you down the wrong path where there's no bliss and there's no blessing. I want you to look at Romans 10, the passage I asked you to turn to. Romans 10 is on page 946 in the Church Bible. Romans 10, 1 through 4. Now, this is Paul speaking of the Israelites and actually speaking of their ignorance of really who God is and what he's done in our lives. So Romans 4, verses 1 through 10 says this. Paul speaking, he says, "Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes." So the Apostle Paul, he's speaking about the Israelites, the very religious people. They were very religious, but they didn't truly understand the righteousness of God. Paul actually says they're ignorant of God's righteousness. They're ignorant of who Jesus is and what he has done because they have rejected him. And even though they look very religious, guess what? They're ignorant of what God desires. So Paul points out, he says, I notice that they have a zeal for God. They seem like they love God, but they don't really know who God is. Well, what about you? Does that describe you? Do you think you know God because you come to church? Do you think you know God because you keep his commandments? Do you think you know God because you say you know God? Well, the truth of the matter is if you don't believe in the gospel, you don't know who God is. Let me repeat that. If you don't believe in the gospel, you don't know who God is. And some of you are saying, well, what's the gospel? Well, the gospel is simple. It's a simple and true message about our need for a Savior. See, all of us sin. We can never be good enough to reach the standard of perfection that God has laid out. But God, in his love and compassion and mercy, sent Jesus Christ to die in our place for our sins. 3 days later, he rose again to prove that he was God. And the Bible says this: all who believe will have eternal life. You know what the people of Israel were doing? They were saying, yeah, we love God, we serve God, we're religious. But Paul was saying, no, they're ignorant of who God really is because they're rejecting Jesus. They're rejecting what he's done for them and what he's done for us. So here's what we have to remember. If we're biblically ignorant, we might not realize that that's the beautiful message. That's what the Bible is all about. That's why you hear that here every Sunday. The Bible is all about God bringing people towards himself by his love and compassion and mercy displayed on the cross. Or you know what? Maybe for you, it's a different type of biblical ignorance. Maybe the biblical ignorance that's leading you astray is a hard heart. Maybe you heard what I just said and you said, I don't believe that. Or that guy, what does he think he knows? He's just up there, okay? He doesn't know, like, I think you have to be a good person, or I think you have to do this or that, or I think any religion out there is a way to God. It's just a different way. You might be saying that. Or maybe, just maybe, you're biblically ignorant because your heart is hard because of your sin. The very words, the very name of Jesus Christ actually offends you because you love your sin more than anything else. You love yourself more than anything else. Well, here's what the scriptures say. In Ephesians 4:18, it says, they are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of ignorance that is in them due to their hard heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. See, that's a different type of biblical ignorance, and that biblical ignorance is a hard heart. I'm hearing it, but I'm not believing it. I'm hearing it, but in my ignorance, I'm not accepting it or understanding it. The bottom line is this. The first danger of biblical ignorance is it can lead you astray. You have to look to find out what God actually says so you're not ignorant of the truth. And the truth is Jesus. The truth is Jesus. The second danger of biblical ignorance is that it actually brings us harm. If you ever read the book of Proverbs, actually Proverbs is interesting because there's 31 Proverbs. And some people just say like, okay, in each month I like to read a chapter in Proverbs for the 31 days in the month. But Proverbs, the common theme in Proverbs is it's filled with sayings like this. If you lack wisdom, there's going to be consequences. Okay? If you do dumb things, you're going to get beat, basically is what it's saying. It continues to go on. If you lack wisdom, there's going to be consequences. You're going to pay the price if you live the wrong way. And you know what? We can go to local jails and find that out. Hey, anybody here lack wisdom and do what they felt like doing? Yep. Now you're doing the time for it. So when we're ignorant of what the Bible says, it actually brings harm upon us. See, the Bible is a prescription for a life well lived. Basically, sums it up. The Bible is God's word to us saying, follow this way and harm won't come your way. Not saying that suffering will never come your way, but follow God's precepts, follow God's standards, follow what God has for you, and it will be a protection to you in many senses. Proverbs 15:32 actually says this. It says that if you ignore instruction, you hate yourself. Anybody here hate themselves? I mean, there might be some people struggling with issues like that, but most people don't hate themselves. And I know that you don't hate yourself because you got yourself out of bed, you cleaned yourself up, you put on some decent clothes, and you came to church. You did something for yourself. So you probably don't hate yourself. So you're probably looking for some kind of instruction and some kind of guidance in your life. Romans 13 says this. It says that we don't fear authorities when we're doing the right thing. Think about it this way. You obey the law, you follow the law. You don't fear the law, do you? Remember, some of you guys might remember this. When I was like a 10-year-old kid, like if you saw a cop riding down the street, what'd you do when you're a 10-year-old boy? You ran, right? You ran because you were always doing something wrong, it seems like. But you know, you were afraid of the authorities. But now as an older person, you realize like, I'm obeying the law. I'm not afraid of the law. No harm will be brought to me because the law is there to protect me. Well, that's the same thing with God's word. When we follow it, we avoid harm. When we disregard it, we suffer harm. The third danger of biblical ignorance is it actually could lead others astray. Now, not only could you lead yourself astray, not only can it bring harm on your own life, but biblical ignorance can actually impact the people around you. Tell you a story. When I was 18 years old, I grew up skateboarding, surfing, playing in a band. One of the things that I wanted more than anything else was a tattoo. I wanted a tattoo so bad. When I was 18 years old, I was not a Christian. I went to the tattoo parlor and got a tattoo right on my ankle. And I was so happy to have this tattoo. I was so proud of this tattoo. I was like, yeah, you know, I wore shorts in like November because like I wanted everybody to see my new tattoo. Until I went to this church, not this church, but a church youth group. And in the foyer of the church youth group was a mom of one of the girls, and we were talking. She saw that I had a tattoo, and literally she said, she looked at me and she goes, oh, you have a tattoo? Just like that, like kind of mean face. And she was like, you have a tattoo? She goes, that's a sin. I was like, what? That's a sin? I was like, I thought there was only like 10 sins. Like, that's a sin? Where'd that one come from? I never heard that before. So I heard about this and I was like, getting a tattoo is a sin. I'm like, this doesn't even make sense. I'm like, I don't know. So I went upstairs into the youth group, thank the Lord, I had a godly youth pastor, and I went up to him after youth group, and I said, hey, Matt, I was like, I got a tattoo. Is that a sin? He was like, no, no, no. And I was like, what was that lady talking about? And he goes, she was probably referencing Leviticus 19:28, where it says, do not cut your body or tattoo your body for the dead. And I was like, okay, well, it says do not what? And then he explained to me, the Levitical law was something that the Jewish people were instructed to observe. And it was to keep them separate from the Canaanites and all the other people. And he said, and actually in that passage, it says, don't cut your body for the dead. Don't tattoo your body. Don't eat meat with blood in it. Don't cut the end of your beard. Like all these different laws that God was actually telling the people to keep to separate them from the other people. And separate them from their worship practices. I was like, okay, well, that's good. Yeah, you know I mean, I'm good, right? Yeah. And at this point, I wasn't even a Christian yet. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I was exposed to biblical ignorance that I've never been exposed to before. And it was the kind that leads people astray. Because you ever hear the saying, like, they know just enough to be dangerous? Okay. This person knew a verse out of context. And now here I am, this young man coming to a church youth group and being berated by this woman. Now, let's just back up. What if I was like, wow, these people are weird. I'm out of here. I didn't know if she worked at the church, what she was, who she was. What if I was just like, this isn't for me. I'm out of here. And just turned and walked the other way. Thankfully, obviously, the Lord was in control of that. He led me to get the answers that I needed or that were biblically correct. But the bottom line is her biblical ignorance could have led me and possibly other people astray. And you know what? Even if it was a sin, even if it was a sin, let's just think about this. 1 Peter 3:15 actually says when we're dealing with people, we should deal with them in gentleness and respect. So even if a person is in sin, how do we treat them? With gentleness and respect. So she was biblically ignorant on two counts, out of context verse, and then not knowing a verse that she really needed to know. Do you know what Jesus says about leading people astray? Mark 9:42 says this, Jesus' words. He says, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone tied around his neck and thrown into the sea. Usually that's not the better option, okay? To have a great millstone tied around your neck and thrown into the bottom of the sea. Jesus said those people are better off than the people that lead other people astray. Biblically ignorant people lead other people astray because they're biblically ignorant. They don't know the word. They think they do. And those, like the dangerous ones, those are the ones that, they make me mad the worst because they think they know something, but they really don't know God's word. Which brings us to our last danger is this. Biblical ignorance harms the work of the gospel. It harms the work of the gospel. I want you to turn to 1 Peter 3 and keep your thumb in 1 Peter because the remaining verses that we deal with are going to be in 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, it's going to be on page 1016 in the church Bible. See, when we're ignorant of what the scriptures say, it can actually harm the work of the gospel. Because there are going to be people in your life that ask you questions. They're going to ask you things about the Lord. They're going to ask you things about his word. And if you don't know, you could miss an opportunity or mess up an opportunity. But here's what 1 Peter says. 1 Peter 3:15 says this. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. So here's what Peter's saying in that passage. We as Christians need to be equipped and ready to answer people's questions when they have them. You go to work, you go to school, family gatherings, friends. Are you equipped? Do you know what to say to people? Do you know the answers to give to people? Be ready. But then he says this, don't only be ready to give an answer, but be ready to give it in a way that's gentle, in a way that's respectful to other people. You know, when you talk to somebody about the Lord, it's not political debate. It's not my idea versus your idea. It's not I'm going to win you or I'm going to yell at you or I'm going to show you how much I know. It's the Lord loves you. He loves you and he has a message for you. I love you and I want to see the best for you. You're never going to win somebody to the Lord by being mean and nasty and arguing and debating with them. It's just not going to happen. I mean, maybe there'll be some miraculous instances in your life where it will work. But for the most part, the Bible tells us if you're not gentle, if you're not respectful, if you're not ready, you're going to harm the work of the gospel. But Paul does warn people. In 2 Timothy 4, 14 through 15, he actually calls out by name two guys and says, stay away from them, they harm the message. Stay away from them, they harm the message. And that's what we would say as well. There are certain Bible teachers out there on the radio, TV personalities, that just harm the work of the gospel. They have the appearance of godliness, but they're actually leading people the wrong way. So now that we know the dangers of biblical ignorance and how this can stand in the way of our faith, how this could be a huge problem, how do we combat it? How do we combat it? Because I know some of you are sitting there thinking, like, you know, like, that makes me scared. Like, when you think I have to be ready to give an answer, I don't really know the answers. I'm not saying you have to know all the answers, but here's what I want to do. I want to tell you how you can combat it so you'll know more of the answers. So you'll actually be more in tune to what God has to say and less biblically ignorant. So the first is this: commit to worship every week. Hebrews 10:25. It's a command, okay? It's a command. Do not give up meeting together, okay? What you're doing right now is a good thing, and I'm glad you're here. But you know what? God wants you to be here. His desire is for you to be here. And you know, I've heard everything. As a pastor, I've heard everything. I've heard people say, we can worship at home. We can worship in a field, spinning around, putting flowers in our hair, and jumping around like little fairies. I've really heard people say that. I've heard people say all kinds of things like that. I'm more in touch with God when I'm in nature. Hey, you know what? That's great. I'm glad you're in touch with God. But you know what? Corporate worship is taught in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And here's what people say. Here's what people will say, things like, well, I don't want to go to church. There's a bunch of hypocrites there. People will say that. Let's think about Jesus. Remember when Jesus walked on this earth? Granted, he didn't go to church because he started the church, okay? People became the church after Jesus ascended into heaven. But he went to the temple to worship. Couldn't Jesus have said something like, I don't want to go to the temple to worship because there's a lot of hypocrites there? Could he have said that? Yeah. You know what? There were a lot of hypocrites there, and Jesus called them out. Could Jesus have said something like, I can worship myself at home, okay? I can have a worship service by myself. And he could have, and that would have been 100% true. But what did Jesus do? He modeled corporate worship amongst the people. And you know what? Early church modeled corporate worship. Why? Because in corporate worship, you learn things that you may have never looked up. In corporate worship, you're around people that can teach you and help you. In corporate worship, you're singing praises to the Lord. In corporate worship, you're hearing God's word. That's why we hold so true to the scriptures, because in corporate worship, you're supposed to become less biblically ignorant. You're supposed to become more in the know on what God has to say. You know, you probably have heard studies and stuff like, nationally speaking, church attendance is down. Have you heard that? Have you heard people don't go to church anymore? And it's actually not that true. But here is what is true. The people that do go to church less. You get that? So it brings the national average of churchgoers down because the people that do go to church just go to church less. They're uncommitted. Think about it this way. If you go to church once a month, how many times a year is that? 12 times a year? 12 times a year. We have 52 weeks in the year. Let me just appeal to you parents and grandparents. What are you passing down if you say that? If you do that, what are you passing down to your kids? Ah, you know, we go to church like the shopping mall. We go when we need something. We go when it's convenient for us. What are you passing down to your kids? I'll just tell you right now, my kids, one of the things I love about my kids, because people always say stuff like this, like as a pastor, I'll be like, oh, you got to watch out, pastors' kids, they're going to hate the church. My kids love the church. They love coming every week. Last week, I didn't speak, right? So we still come to church. When we're in town, we still come to church. If I would have said to my kids, we're not going, they would have been mad. They would be mad. They would be like, what? We got to see our Sunday school teachers. We got to see our friends. We got to be at church. They love it. Why? Well, they have parents that love the church. Not bragging. It's just what we're supposed to do. You know who loved the church before we did? Jesus did. Okay? Jesus loves the church. So you know what I would say to you families? Draw a line in the sand. Like I've said before, draw a line in the sand. My family's not going to be like this. My family's going to go to church each week. We're going to make every effort to make sure that we're with God's people on a Sunday. I can tell you what, you make that commitment in 2015, you won't regret it. You won't regret it. God's going to bless you, not only with relationships, not only with teaching, not only with worship, but just knowing that you're following after the Lord. So important. And it's going to combat biblical ignorance in your life because you're going to learn every single week. You're going to learn from the people. You're going to learn from the message. You're going to learn from the worship. You're going to learn. And it's going to combat any biblical ignorance in your life. If you don't, you're going to stay biblically ignorant, and so are your children. So will your children. The second is this, have a teachable heart. 1 Peter 5:5. I told you to keep your thumb in 1 Peter. Hopefully you did. 1 Peter 5:5, again on page 1016 in the Church Bible. It says this, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility toward one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The next way that we combat biblical ignorance is simple. Have a teachable heart. Have a teachable heart. He says, the younger, be subject to the elders. Then he's saying, clothe yourself with humility. You know what? As a pastor, I don't expect you to remember everything I teach, because you know what? I don't even remember everything that I teach. But here's what I do expect, and here's what God expects. Your posture to be, what can I learn today? What can I learn today? Not what can my husband or wife next to me learn? Not what does somebody else in the congregation need to hear, and I'm glad Pastor Mike said it. What can I learn today? What do I need to learn? You know, anytime you're around biblical instruction, I remember when my kids were little, reading like the little the Bible stories from like the children's Bibles, and I would be like enamored sometimes. I'd be reading this. I was like, man, I never thought of that. And I'm sitting there reading the children's Bible and my PJs on the floor, you know? But you know what? If we have a posture of, hey, you know what? I need to learn. I need to learn each time I'm around God's word and God's people. Ben Franklin said it this way, being ignorant is not so much a shame as being unwilling to learn. Are you unwilling to learn? Is your heart teachable? That's what we need. See, but you know what? Being teachable is a maturity issue, and some of you have realized that. It's a maturity issue. The most immature people that I know think they don't need to learn anything. That's the truth. The most immature people I know think that they know everything. Some of you remember this quote from Mark Twain. I've used this before, and I'm sure you've heard it before, but I'll say it again. Mark Twain said this, when I was a boy of 14, my father was so ignorant, I could hardly stand to be around the old man. But when I got to be 21, I was astonished at how much the old man had learned in 7 years. Yeah, I don't think the old man learned that much more. But Mark Twain became a little more mature and realized in my immaturity, I was looking at my dad thinking, that guy's ignorant. But really, I was the one who was ignorant. You know, so many times in my life, I look back when I was 20, 25, 30, 35, 39. I look back at the years before and I say, man, I was so ignorant. I shouldn't have said that, or I shouldn't have done that, or I shouldn't have thought that. It's this process that we should all be going through of becoming spiritually mature. And let me just tell you this. If you think you've arrived, you're deceiving yourself. And I know that none of you, none of us have arrived. And here's how I know. You're here, okay? You're living and breathing. And you know the day that you arrived is when the Lord calls you home and he says, well done, good and faithful servant. You'd be like, yes, I've arrived, okay? But while you're on this earth, you're learning daily. And if you don't want to learn on your own, guess what? I know most of you know this. If you don't want to learn these things on your own, God will teach them to you. And when God teaches you lessons, sometimes it hurts a lot more than when we learn those when he's showing us in his word. All the people in the New and Old Testament, when you start studying the word, you start looking at people and you're like, wow, that person made that mistake, or wow, that was a good decision. I need to learn from that. I need to take that in. You know, the Bible, it's such a life book, isn't it? You know, it's an ancient book, but it speaks to us today. So we need to have a teachable heart. The next is we need to learn on our own. You need to spend time on your own. Yeah, be in corporate worship. Have a teachable heart anytime you're around biblical teaching. But you need to spend some time on your own too. God wants you to spend some time on your own learning. G.K. Chesterton said it this way. He said, without education, we are in horrible and deadly danger of taking educated people seriously. What he's saying is go out and get educated. You know what I mean? Not necessarily formally, but learn on your own. You know, we don't follow one person. You guys don't follow me. You don't follow any author. Obviously, we follow biblical authors, but you don't follow any author or pastor or Bible teacher right off a cliff. You don't listen to everything they say and say that's gospel truth. We follow Jesus. So if something is said up here that you maybe have a question about, maybe you don't agree with, go look. You know what the Apostle Paul said to the church in Berea? He said, hey, listen, check the scriptures and what I'm telling you. The Apostle Paul, he wrote 60% of the scriptures inspired by God. He's saying, if you don't believe me, go check it out. I would say the same thing. You don't follow me. You don't follow any author. You don't follow any radio Bible teacher. You follow Jesus, and you learn on your own, and you check the scriptures to make sure what's being taught is from God and of God. Proverbs 18:15 says this, an intelligent heart acquires knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeks knowledge. You know, we have so many tools at our disposal, don't we, these days, with all the media we have. If you go on our church website, we have a resource link, and I have about 10 links on there of just things that will help you in personal devotion life, Bible study, getting your questions answered. We live in an information age where we have so much. We have Bible apps on our phone. Our church app has the Bible built into it. We have no excuses. Even giving out Bibles, like it almost seems funny now. Like you don't even have to give people Bibles. You just give me your smartphone. Here, I'll download that. What's your ID? Okay, I'll figure it out for you so you can start reading, not only reading, listening to the Bible, having devotion plans. If you have that YouVersion Bible app, there's devotion plans. You can read through the Bible in 3 months, 3 years, 4 days. You can do all kinds of stuff on these Bible apps. We have no excuse. Right here in our church foyer, we have the Our Daily Bread, the little devotional. If you need to start somewhere, start there. They're all on both tables. There's also Design for Discipleship. We'll have the whole set out there. There's only a few books out there now. We'll have the whole set next week. Some of you took that. Remember book one, Design for Discipleship? We had like 130 people take those. And I know some of those are under the short end of the couch right now. So go home, take it out from under the short end of the couch. Have a crooked couch, but a developed spiritual life. Listen, you need to spend time on your own. You need to spend time with the Lord, either at night or the morning. Whenever it works, you got to be doing it because you're going to combat biblical ignorance in your life. And then the next is surround yourself with godly people. Proverbs 13:20 says this, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. The companion of fools suffers harm. So who you hang out with, so important. Surround yourself with some godly people. Remember when you were a little kid and your parents said, I want you hanging out with that person because you always do bad stuff when you're with them. Or maybe you were that bad person that all the other parents in the neighborhood were saying that about. Either or, if you're walking with wise and godly people, it's just going to rub off. It's going to help you. Some of you realize that. You're like, man, where would I be without my Christian friends? You know, one of the hardest things for me as a Christian, when I first got saved, Amy and I had like barely any solid Christian friends. It was such a pleasure to go away to Bible college to actually meet other Christian friends. We're like, this is amazing. Other people who think like we do, love the Lord like we do. You know, you need some Christian friends. You know what I mean? You need to hang out with some Christians. And then finally, another passage in 1 Peter 2:15. Live out what you believe. Our last way that we combat it is we live it out. What you learn, live out. I'm not saying live everything out because you haven't learned everything yet. But what you know, live it out. Why? Well, 1 Peter 2:15 tells us. It says this. For this is the will of God. You're wondering what God's will is for your life? This is the will of God. That by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Do you know the more you live for Christ, the more you silence the ignorance of foolish people? You know, there might be people at work or people at school or people in your family. They're like, you know, all Christians are hypocrites. But then they know you and they're like, but the one I know isn't. All Christians are judgmental. And then they look at you and they're like, but the one I know isn't. You're actually silencing their ignorance because people make generalizations all the time, right? I mean, you see, turn on TV and they interview a pastor or a Christian. Game on, right? They're always attacking us, always attacking us. One of the guys I love to watch give interviews is Rick Warren. I love that guy. And here's why. Every time he gives an interview, people always try to attack him, and he always points people to Jesus. He'll be like, I didn't say that. Jesus said that. And here's what else Jesus said. And I love the way he does it. He must have some amazing people around him coaching him in a godly fashion and obviously very sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Because you know what? People will attack us. But when we live out what we believe, it silences their ignorance. They have not a leg to stand on. And then the final passage is 1 Peter 1:14. 1 Peter 1:14 says this, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. Hey, we were all ignorant at one time, weren't we? We all had times of ignorance that we didn't know what the Bible said or we didn't do what the Bible said. What Peter's saying is don't fall back into that. Live out what you believe. Don't fall back into living the wrong way. So now that we know the dangers of biblical ignorance, and now that we know how to combat biblical ignorance, when the problems of faith come up in 2015, I think we'll be in a little bit better shape. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for this day. I thank you, Lord, for each person that's here. I thank you for their commitment to you and this church. But I thank you, Lord, that there are people that are striving to be biblically informed. Not as a textbook, but as a life book given from the life giver. We're thankful for that. I pray, Lord, for anybody here that is ignorant to what you desire, which is trusting in your son, Jesus. I pray that they would open their heart and would open their mind to you. Just thankful again for this new year that we embark on. Whatever this life throws at us, Lord, we know that we're safe and secure with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So this morning, we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And just a few brief things I want to tell you.